Hunger is on the ballot as candidates take positions affecting food insecurity. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. Rising grocery prices and changes to federal food assistance are affecting hundreds of thousands of Floridians.
I got here like four something. I came here because the money's getting tight. The foods in the stores are getting way too high for us to afford any food like they used to. I want healthy food.
Many are having to settle for cheaper, less healthy foods. Food insecurity is top of mind for some this election. Coming up, how candidates in one congressional race are addressing it. That's part of our series, Central Florida Seen and Heard, Vote Your Budget. And it's just ahead on The Wrap, the big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. While proponents of a proposed property tax overhaul say it will save homeowners money, state lawmakers, faith groups, and trade unions alike are sounding the alarm over how it could negatively affect renters in Florida. Central Florida Public Media's Molly Durg reports a judge in Tallahassee this week ruled the ballot language for Amendment 3 is, quote, defective and must not be used.
The judge's ruling says Amendment 3 would, quote, discriminate against Florida residents who rent their homes by providing tax relief only to owners of homesteaded properties. Renters would likely end up paying more, according to the ruling, because landlords would likely face other higher costs and pass those on to tenants. Orlando Democratic Representative Rashawn Young is part of the Save Our Services Coalition, a group pushing against Amendment 3.
It means higher rent, it means higher fees, it means higher costs for small businesses that will ultimately be passed down to the consumers. And for renters like me, who are already being squeezed from every direction, this amendment says you pay more while others pay less.
If voters approve it this November, the proposal would ultimately let homeowners pay property taxes as if their homes were worth $250,000 less. Molly Durig, Central Florida Public Media.
In Central Florida, the first day of school is right around the corner. Along with students, artificial intelligence is heading back to the classroom. As Central Florida Public Media's Kayla Kissel reports, districts aren't outright banning AI, but they are thinking about how it can be used in the classroom.
Some districts already have AI tools and guidelines in place. Others are just starting to roll out policies for this school year. For example, Brevard allows AI for research and student feedback, but not to write papers. Seminole has three new district-approved AI tools, and Orange County now allows certain AI for research, but requires teacher permission for graded work. Orange County School Board member Maria Salamanca says writing the policy has felt like, quote, building a plane while flying.
I think that this board, above all else, mostly care truly about like safety and guardrails, right? We don't know yet what this looks like, and I think this is a policy that's going to come back every single year.
But even with those guardrails, Johns Hopkins neuropsychologist Jennifer Katzenstein says putting more AI into classrooms could mean students do less of the thinking themselves.
We're taking away the critical thinking piece, the problem solving, the gathering of research and information by offloading that task to another device software platform.
As school districts work on the implementation of these new guidelines, many say those policies could change. The state is rolling out its own guidance on how AI should be used in schools. Kayla Kissel, Central Florida Public Media.
Blue Origin says it has figured out what caused its New Glenn rocket to explode and damage the company's Cape Canaveral launch facility. A valve that controls the flow of oxygen in one of the rocket's engines was found to be the source of the anomaly that caused the explosion in May. In a social post, Blue Origin's CEO says the company is making changes to the valve. Those modifications will get retrofitted onto the company's current inventory of BE-4 engines. That fix will be ready by the end of the month. These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. A mission to save a falling spacecraft is now in need of its own rescue. Catalyst Space's Link mission launched to raise the Swift Observatory's altitude before it fell out of space. But before it could do that, it ran into some trouble. The clock is ticking as engineers try to regain control to complete the mission before Swift burns up in the atmosphere. The latest efforts to rescue the rescue mission, that's this week on Are We There Yet? Get it wherever you get your podcasts. On average, U.S. households spend 12% of the family budget on food in 2024. For very low-income households, it was 33%. For our series, Central Florida Seen and Heard, Vote Your Budget, in partnership with the Oviedo Community News, we look at the state of food safety net programs and how candidates in one congressional race impacting some Central Floridians say they'll work to help people in need. Central Florida Public Media's Joe Burns reports.
In her small SUV with the AC humming, Yvette Batham describes her dream meal.
Oh, I would make my family a nice seafood boil. I'd make them with corn and sausage and shrimp and crab legs, and we'd all sit around my big old table and we'd dip it in real butter, and I can just visualize all their happy, smiling faces.
Batham has been waiting for hours in the car line with hundreds of other people for a food distribution event at the Ocala Rotary Sportsplex. Volunteers with Wings of Faith Fellowship Church help hand out food from a Second Harvest Food Bank of Central Florida truck. Batham is responsible for feeding 9 people at her Ocala home. She says her husband started a new business in April, and they no longer have his steady paycheck. They've cut the food budget to about $200 every 2 weeks, which, if you do the math, comes to $11 per person per week.
With the rising price in gas and paying mortgage and electric, the grocery budget just, that's where the cut had to be made. And if it wasn't for the food bank, we would just be in trouble. We'd be in big, big trouble.
Grocery prices are rising across America. They were up 2.7% in June compared to a year earlier, and some categories were much worse. Beef and coffee were up around 12%. Tomatoes, 19%, and lettuce, 32%. The Second Harvest Food Bank supplies pantries and distributions across 7 counties. Its senior director of advocacy and government relations, Stephanie Palacios, says families are making hard choices all over Central Florida. They're having to choose cheaper, less healthy foods.
Rent eats first. If you are housed, you have to do what you can to protect that situation.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program is the federal government's longstanding effort to help millions of low-income families put food on the table. SNAP and the federal assistance provided through groups like Second Harvest are in the hands of Congress, though state lawmakers will have a say in how recent changes to SNAP play out in Florida. President Donald Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill, which congressional Republicans passed last summer, makes cuts to SNAP estimated at $187 billion over 10 years. It does so by adding new work requirements and shifting costs onto the states. Since then, more than 600,000 Floridians no longer receive SNAP, a 20.8% decline. Palacios says more dominoes will fall soon.
As time goes on and we get over a year or maybe 2 years out from the One Big Beautiful Bill, then we can see what the impacts really are on the state, on the charitable food system, and on neighbors facing hunger.
Beginning in October, the state's share of SNAP administrative costs will increase from 50 to 75%. Historically, the federal government has paid 100% of SNAP benefits. Now part of the burden will shift to states if their error rates are above 6%.
In the future, the state of Florida is going to be responsible for 15% of those benefits. Based on the error rates that recently came out, estimates are that that's close to $1 billion worth of benefits.
As SNAP takes these hits, Feeding America, a nationwide network of food banks, confronts a growing need. It's asking Congress to double its funding for the Emergency Food Assistance Program, known as TFAP, and increase the money for transportation and storage. Those programs are paid for through the Farm Bill. The latest version passed the House earlier this year and is awaiting action in the Senate. It does not amp up funding for food assistance.
It's a decision that I think Central Floridians should be interested in asking. What are the lawmakers' concerns about how support for neighbors facing hunger has dwindled over the past few years and how investment hasn't increased, even though the need is?
As for what Batham, the Ocala mom, would like to see from lawmakers, the registered Republican says, first of all, she's thankful, and she acknowledges that
free food's not free. Somebody's working. Somebody's paying the bill. And so I understand that SNAP has to tighten its belt, and I understand that there has to be some red tape.
Her family doesn't receive SNAP benefits. With her husband's new business, she says they can't track the household income in order to report it. She would like to see better foods at distributions.
It would be so much better if I could get some meat.
So how would the candidates running for Congress on her November ballot address food assistance? Her home is in Florida Congressional District 3. her congresswoman, Gainesville Republican Kat Kamick, will face independent candidate Mike Klein and the winner among four men in the Democratic primary. Kamick voted for the One Big Beautiful Bill. She also helped to shape this year's farm bill to support producers affected by natural disasters. During floor debate, she called it a lifeline for farmers and ranchers.
The men and women who wake up before the sun, who work through the hurricanes and the freezes and the disease outbreaks, who have been delivering for this country.
But bolstering TFAP wasn't one of her priorities. Her campaign points to a change that would allow states to spend more of those funds on fresh produce. Klein, the independent candidate, says in an email that he favors ensuring adequate resources for food banks and protecting access to SNAP for people with genuine need. The Democratic candidates are Seth Harp, George Huback, Troy Albers, and Tom Wells. Harp and Huback have made opposition to the cuts to food assistance part of their campaigns. In a candidate survey, Huback says his number one issue is to, quote, reverse the cuts to Medicaid, food assistance, and health insurance. Albers, an Army and Navy veteran, says more money for TFAP would also help farmers, and that ultimately it comes down to what Congress chooses to fund.
We could have chose to put $500 million in this and just cut 12 hours out of the Iran war.
Wells says he finds it hard to concentrate on this issue with so many concerns. Killings by immigration agents, corporate campaign finance, and, quote, the tyranny of the Supreme Court. Batham's SUV is finally at the end of the line. She faces backward from the front seat with her daughter behind the wheel. At each stop, volunteers pile bread, milk, juice, pastries, chicken, vegetables, a watermelon, and boxes of food into the back. She calls out a thank you to each volunteer.
You're welcome, ladies. Have a blessed day.
Joe Burns, Central Florida Public Media.
That was part of Central Florida Seen and Heard, Vote Your Budget, in partnership with the Oviedo Community News. See more of that reporting online. Visit cfpublic.org. That's it for the wrap this week. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is The Wrap.